Hello, and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holle.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week, we're tackling a bit of a heavier topic.
Yes.
We're talking about all the could-haves, would-haves, and should-haves of our life. We're talking about regret.
No!
I definitely have plenty of regrets in my life.
Really? Would you say you have regrets?
Stop. Yes, I do have regrets.
Yes.
And some even come in the form of tattoos.
No.
Funnily enough. But yeah, like I have things like I think any person that I wish I could have done differently, ways I've acted that I'm not particularly proud of, things I said that I wish I could unsay, like if I just had the chance to go back and do or say those things differently, I definitely would. But my own personal relationship to regret, I don't really spend much of my time imagining or like fantasizing about what would have happened if that was different. Like I have that sensation of like, oh, like I wish I could undo this. But I do, like, as corny as it sounds, I do like to live my life in a way of like everything does happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even the mistakes in my life, like it's kind of hard for me to imagine, because things have turned out the way that they have, it's hard for me to imagine if I could go back and change it, what that outcome would be.
Yeah, thinking about your mistakes in a way that if that didn't happen, then mm-hmm. where would I be now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very level-headed way of thinking about your life.
Yeah, I try.
I can't say that I agree.
Oh, really?
I think that there's definitely some things that I've regretted in the past where I have, you know, time has passed long enough where I kind of look back on it and I think, you know, maybe in that moment or maybe a few weeks after, a few months after, I regretted not doing something, I regretted mm-hmm. doing something, but I'm ultimately very happy to where I've gotten.
Yeah.
But I do think I spend a pretty, I would self-diagnose, unhealthy amount of like thinking about regrets. And I think, you know, in general, my life plays a lot in scenarios, and I mm-hmm. think about scenarios a lot, whether they have happened, whether they haven't happened, mm-hmm. whether they have happened and I've wanted them to go differently.
Yeah.
So I feel like in general, I'm already just thinking about a lot of the decisions I've made in my life, mm-hmm. and then adding on being sad or upset or something else has happened, I feel like I really circle back to, you know, I should have done this or mm-hmm. I should have done that. And I think it also really bars from like wanting to make more decisions, like right. big decisions, as much as they stress anyone out. I think for me personally, it really affects me, mostly because I have this like insane amount of pre-regret where I'm like, what if I make this decision and I literally hate it?
Yeah. That's interesting. So, like, not only are you thinking about things that have already happened that you wish you could change, but you're also kind of, like, bracing yourself for mistakes or regrets that you may have moving forward.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because I do think about things that I regret doing a lot in the past, but then honestly pinpointing a lot of them, like, right in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a few in my head. Obviously, we prepared for this episode. But I feel like, you know, we've recently in our house been playing this mm-hmm. very interesting game called Hot Seat, which I don't think you've ever played before.
Mm-mm.
But just for context, one person goes into a chair in front of everyone else that's at this function mm-hmm. where they are asked a series of questions over the course of, like, 3 minutes. And you, one of the questions that always gets brought up is, what's your biggest regret? Or mm-hmm. what was your biggest regret in the past year?
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly really struggle with that question sometimes. I think I always say something, but then I go back, I'm like, do I actually regret this thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I think once someone threw a question out of like, oh, like who's someone you regret dating?
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't in the hot seat at the time, but I was thinking about if I had gotten that question, and I was like, that's such an interesting one, because I think that relationships are so, like, significant in shaping your life in a way and shaping your experiences. And so that in particular, and I think you could apply it to other regrets that may occur in someone's life, it's just like, how can you even regret that? Because, like, surely, even if it was a bad relationship or, like, whatever, you probably grew and learned a lot through it.
I feel like there's probably some relationships, though, that I feel like people, maybe the reasons they do regret it is because they didn't grow from it. Or maybe, like, I can also imagine some types of relationships being, like, incredibly traumatic. And, like, you think about, like, oh, I wish I would have never done this. Yeah. But I do agree in some context that, like, it is, because I don't think I regret any relationships personally. Like, maybe at the time when they ended, I might have thought about it that way. But I, in general, don't think I've ever regretted a relationship. But it is interesting to hear people talk about their regrets and then being the observer, because I think that gives really good context maybe into your own regrets sometimes, because someone's sitting there being like, oh, like, I don't even know why.
Like,
you,
either this doesn't really matter that much, or, like, you look at that, all that's come from this, even if it was difficult at the time or embarrassing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, something has come from this.
Yeah.
And I think that is easier to see as an outsider than it is as the person with the regret.
Well, yeah. And usually when I get asked about regrets, I always go back to, like, how I was in my first year. I'm always like, I don't think I took full advantage of my first year. I stayed in a very close-knit group of friends. I didn't go out very often. I didn't socialize. I didn't really think that much about what my academic choices were in lots of ways. And I, you know, to this day, I'll say that. But then also, similarly to what you were saying earlier in this episode, I look back on that and I'm like, well, I feel like if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have become the person
I was.
Which is like, and I do, you know, to this day, I very much encourage it whenever I do speak to young first years-ish, I always try to, like, let them know, like, this is what you should be doing, even if it's scary. And I think that post that year, I thought a lot about that year, and I was like, I really wish I did this, I really wish I did that. But then I think once I hit my third year, and I feel like I kind of edited those mistakes, it felt a bit more solidified of, like, okay, well, then this happened. But it also, one, I feel like I've grown from it, and two, it doesn't really feel like it's affecting my life anymore. For most contexts.
Well, I can understand being like, I'll never be able to get that first year back. And if only I had acted a bit differently, things could have been different. But I think it's good that you can also see that there were reasons why your life looked like that at that time. And because you had that sense of regret, you were able to be like, okay, I didn't like how that went. I need to broaden my circles, and I need to work on my social anxiety, and I need to do things so that I don't continue to regret the way that I'm living my life.
Do you have regrets? I know that you just said that you don't really have regrets, but
no, I do have regrets, but
you
I just
see them
don't...
as being a reason.
I see them as happening for a reason, and I don't spend that much time, like, ruminating on what could have been. Except
the one regret you
such
have.
A silly one, but it's one where I'm like, there's literally nothing that's come out of this that's, like, for the best, you know? And that is not having a permanent retainer put in after I got my braces out. Because, listen, I'm not gonna, like, you know, have a whole sob story about how my teeth are terrible. My teeth are not the worst.
They're beautiful.
But my parents did invest a lot of money into that orthodontist who gave me braces. And I got them off when I was, like, 13 or 14, I want to say. And for some reason, they gave me the option to, like, choose whether or not to have a permanent retainer. And in my little 13-year-old brain, I was like, oh, if I get a permanent retainer, I'll never be able to feel the, like, real back of my teeth ever again.
That was your
That was why I didn't want to get it. Yeah. I was like, because you spend, like, I think I had my braces for, like, 2 years. You spend 2 years not being able to feel your real teeth. Like, and then someone's like, you want to put more metal in your teeth forever? You're like, no, Never
but
again.
What benefit does it have to feel the back of your teeth?
None. This many, is my issue.
How many times
if
have you
I could sacrifice never feeling the back of my teeth ever again to have like the teeth that I had when I first got my braces off, like obviously I would. This is why it's a regret holiday.
I'm so upset about this.
I know. And it's so funny because like so many people that I talk to who have permanent retainers, they talk about how their dentist didn't give them a choice of whether or not to have the permanent retainer put in. I don't know if they talked to the parents or they just like made the executive decision, which like love my dentist for like asking for my consent, but like
why didn't
don't.
You just put that metal in my mouth?
Why? Like it's just like in the idea of like, oh, everything happens for a reason. It's like, what was the reason?
And what was the reason? To teach you that you should always
say yes to a permanent retainer. Because I got one of those retainers that you can take and take out. And obviously,
I've never
worn it once and then lost it immediately.
I was going to say, like, I definitely know
I don't even
people
own it.
That have their, like, retainers that they just, like, have every once in a while. They'll take it out when they go to meals and stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't. Actually, also, I, too, have a tooth regret.
Oh, really?
And it actually has just come to my brain. And oh. I don't even know why I didn't think about this.
Let's hear it.
And partially it wasn't my fault, but I think in another way it was.
Okay.
I had my wisdom. So I've never had braces before. Mm-hmm. I really like revel in the fact that I have really nice teeth. My entire family has pretty like straight mm-hmm. teeth. And then when the pandemic hit, my wisdom teeth started growing in and it really hurt, but it was like in the midst of the pandemic and I told my mom about it. And she was saying, like, well, you should still try to go to the dentist because they had, you know, the dentists were still open,
yeah.
even though it was, like, still very dangerous. And
yeah.
I think I blamed it on the pandemic, but honestly, I think I was just lazy and I didn't want to go. And now my teeth are, like, a little crooked. And now I'm so upset because if I do want to get them straight, I'm going to have to get, like, Invisalign or something.
If you get your wisdom teeth out, is it possible to, like, make more space and then...
I'd have to get braces or Invisalign.
Oh, really?
But it's okay. You were really nice to me the other day and you told me that they're not actually as crooked as I think they are.
No, they're definitely not.
Well, I think that regrets especially with decisions you made as a child, I think sometimes those still follow you. Like, I remember my mom giving me the option to go and take Farsi classes when I was a kid and I said no.
Yeah.
Really regret it nowadays.
Yeah.
But I also think that in terms of, like, regrets that I have, and I think this is kind of what you're getting to in some of your descriptions of how you view regret, I think that regret in the short term tends to affect me a little bit more than the long term. I don't really feel like I have this, like, all big regret that, like, I can't believe I didn't make this decision and now, like, I can never go back and do this thing. And, you know, I'm only 23 years old, so there's probably a reason why I don't have those regrets. But I feel like short-term regrets, bless you. Things like, oh, I shouldn't have gone out a few nights ago because I had to do this assignment.
Right.
Or like, I wish I would have said something to this friend when I had a chance because now it feels too late and like they've upset me. Like those types of regrets feel like the more prominent ones to me at this point. And I feel like maybe in general, that's what people feel a bit more often.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's what I had to say about short-term and long-term regrets.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think, like, you know, having long-term regrets may mean it's something that really feels like you can't not only undo it, but kind of, like, make up for it. Like, I think your first year example where you were like, I was unhappy and then I changed the way that I was, but I still kind of regret not doing it sooner.
Yeah.
You still kind of had an opportunity. You couldn't go back in time, obviously, and change things, but you had an opportunity to change that part of your life.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the Farsi classes from a young age or like the permanent retainer, things like that. It's like, it just really feels like, man, it's too late. Like that was the moment where I needed to make the decision and I didn't make the right decision.
Well, yeah. And I feel like with different types of regrets, and I think, I don't know if this feels similar for you, but for me, it depends on the like time or like where my headspace is at when I like start to think about regret. Like recently, being a post grad, I feel like I've started to look back on a lot of my choices in my 5 years of undergraduate degrees. And when I first left school and was like on a high of just like thank God, like, I'm done and I did well and everything's good. I was like, woo, like, I did so well throughout my entire university with no mistakes and I was perfect.
No.
Whereas, like, time passed and then I started to, like, think a lot about, like, oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. And then I remember, like, a few weeks ago having kind of this, you know, moment where I was really just like spiraling into how I was, all the different decisions I made. And it really made me think about what like regret feels on like a physical level, which is something that I learned from therapy like last year, where to think about where your feelings are coming from and where you feel them. And for me, I tend to feel like it's in my chest and it feels like extremely hollow. And it, like, the way that I could like personify that feeling is feeling like I'm trying to like reach in somewhere and I like can't grab it. And it literally, like, it feels in the center of my chest and it feels like I just can't do a single thing about it.
Interesting. Yeah. I think for me, the most like physical sensation that I get from regret is like, you know, those things where you're like lying in bed and you think of something really like cringy and embarrassing that you've said or done at some point in your life, and it's like, oh, you just, I don't even know how to describe it, you're just like tense and just
clenching.
Like, this is horrible, and you get like sweaty palms even though I always kind of have sweaty palms, but they're extra sweaty.
Yeah,
like that, I would say that is like a feeling of regret, like even if it's kind of on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
But like that is like a very like visceral physical experience I think a lot of people can relate to as well.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because I didn't even, I just now realized like that is also a form of regret as well, where it's like you wake up the next morning after you've like gone out and like something just like pops into your head and you're like, why did I say that?
Yeah. Or I'll like say something or like, say, or my delivery will be weird or something, and as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, why can't I just like go back like 2 seconds and unsay that, or or say it more eloquently?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean, is like I feel like there's these differences, and I think that's why regret is something that I feel like I could say universally most people have like felt at some point in their life in whatever capacity it's been. And it can be as small as like, why did I say something? Why did I always think like, why did I talk so loudly in that moment? I'm screaming like, I don't like that I did that. Or in like the grand scheme of things, it could be like, why did I choose this major? Like, why did I take this job? Like, why did I not, I don't know, ask this person out? And like now they're married with 3 kids. Not speaking from personal experience.
I'm like, do you have something you need to say?
But it just feels in general like this feeling is something that lots of people feel.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to understand and like work through.
Definitely. But we do have our research segment coming up, which I think is going to bring a lot of clarity about what regret is, what purpose it serves. But before that.
Yes.
Holly chose a very fun song for us this week. It's, of course, No Je Ne Regrette Rien by Edith Piaf, which translates to No, I Don't Regret Anything. And when we come back, like I said, we'll be talking about why we shouldn't want to be like Edith Piaf and why regretting things is actually sometimes okay. We'll find out why after the break.
Le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie,
Horse Girl, your favorite up-and-coming Chicago-based rock band, plays the Wise Hall on July 15th. You don't want to miss this.
The Sweetgrass Clan is a volunteer-based coalition that provides safety, security, and essential resources to the most vulnerable members of the downtown Eastside community. In addition to providing food and safety, the Sweetgrass Clan also connects people with advocates for housing, mental health counseling, and drug and alcohol detox. The Sweetgrass Clan is always looking for new volunteers to support the downtown Eastside community and are able to offer volunteers grocery gift cards and bus tickets as honorariums. If you would like to offer your volunteer support to the Sweetgrass Clan, you can reach out via email at abfrontdoor.org or visit abfrontdoor.org.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about regret. Well, not all is lost with regret. I actually really enjoyed researching for this episode because I think it gave me a lot of hope and a lot of just like camaraderie with the rest of the human race because it just seems like this is such a universal feeling and like it doesn't manifest in the same ways all the times like cross-culturally, but from the literature, it seems like everyone does regret. We just regret different things. So I wanted to start off with a little bit of like definitions is what I was going to say. And we talked a little bit about this in the last section, but there's, you know, obviously real terms that we use for things like what we do, what we regret that we did do, and what we regret that we didn't do. Pretty much these are just called action versus inaction regret. So if you regret that you spoke this to this person for too long, I don't know, I couldn't think of a good example that we hadn't already said. If you regret going out last night because now you're hungover and whatever, that's an action regret. An inaction regret is that you regret not shooting your shot with that really cute barista. So what ends up happening is that we are more likely to regret action regrets in a shorter time frame. So probably like right afterwards or a week afterwards, you feel those effects a lot more. Whereas the inaction regret, we tend to regret over long periods of time. So, you know, the we were talking earlier of like, oh, I wish I like asked this person out, but now they're dating someone. Like you could go down for, you know, a few years and you're like, well, what could have happened? And it's almost as if there's this idea of like, because you didn't take the action, you can never predict what did what could have happened. Whereas with the action ones, you kind of know what the outcome is. So you can just regret it for what it's like done to you in that moment. And that's kind of why it's easier to like move through that type of regret, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
And then, so this all comes from this researcher called Dr. James Tobin. And he had this really great article about regret and how regret is an adaptable resource. He taught, he spoke a lot in this article about how when we look at regret, it's one of the most negative emotions that humans have. It's ranked very high as being
like it makes us feel extremely terrible.
Yeah, like we yes. Is that what like that means? We rate it to be extreme, like one mm-hmm. of the worst emotions that we can feel, and it's almost insufferable to lots of people.
Uh-huh.
However, on the other hand, it's seen as a really adaptable feeling because over courses of time, we've seen how regret helps us learn from our mistakes and better ourselves within like what types of actions we make for our group, mm-hmm. what we make for ourselves, and then like how we, you know, when you look at maybe in the more evolutionary state of like, oh, this person ate this plant and now they're dead.
I bet they regret that.
And I'm sure they regret
that. If they
were
alive right now, they'd be regretting this a lot.
I guess dead wasn't the right example I should have used. I should have said
they got
sick,
yeah.
I don't know why my head just went there. But yeah, no, like it's seen as an extremely adaptable response.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks a lot about how when someone shows very little regret or almost no regret, mm-hmm. it's one of the diagnostic categories for sociopaths.
Mm.
Because I'm not going to say what a sociopath definition is because I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Okay, we'll get back to that maybe.
We'll get back to it. But okay, I'm just going to look it up very quickly. But pretty much the idea is that if someone is in a diagnostic like exam for someone who's a sociopath, which by definition on Google has little regard for another person's emotions, rights, or experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get messed up with psychopath, yeah. which is why I wanted
it's
to look it up.
Very fair.
That's one of the deciding factors to see if they're a sociopath or not. Mm-hmm. It's not obviously the only thing.
Yeah.
And also, there's also evidence that shows that a certain part of your brain, when it's damaged through some form of like head trauma,
mm-hmm.
someone also learns how to, or like stops having regrets,
yeah.
which is really dangerous yeah. for humans because right. if we don't have precautionary tails in our brain, like we are much more likely to do things that could put us in grave danger.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, like this is a very like built-in resource that yeah. we've had in our brains. And that kind of leads into this idea of like when he talks about how regret is something that we need to have, and that's why so many mm-hmm. people do have it. And even if you are feeling it, you at least have the context that this is good for you.
Yeah.
And that almost everyone else has it.
Yeah. Well, when we think about comparing feelings of regret versus feelings of guilt,
yeah,
I think it gets really interesting because also feeling guilty is not a fun feeling.
Yeah.
But I think like an important distinction between the two is when you're feeling guilty, you're like, ugh, I've done something bad. But feeling regret, it kind of adds that extra layer of like, and I never want to do that again.
Yes.
And so it's kind of like, okay, you're going to change your actions. You're going to like maybe try and like make this better. Like if you've ever had anyone apologize to you and they come off as genuinely like they
yeah.
really regret what has happened, that like makes that apology seem so much more sincere versus it coming from a place of like
guilt.
They're guilty. They feel guilty and they're trying yeah. to get it off their chest, you know.
It almost feels like with guilt, you're like, it's the difference of like, are you upset that you did it or are you upset that you got caught?
Exactly.
Like very clear. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually such a good distinction. I didn't even think about that. But I feel mm-hmm. like they're so intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that regret brings this like whole other response of like, I genuinely wish that whatever decision I made that I hadn't
yeah.
done that. I wish
yeah.
I could go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he talks a little bit about like the four stages of regret, which I thought was really interesting. And I just wanted to briefly talk about it, where
mm-hmm.
he talks the first three steps being denial, bewilderment, and punishment.
Mm.
So denial being like, I hope this feeling goes away really soon because I hate this feeling. Bewilderment of how someone could be like, I can't believe I did something like this. Like, I can't believe that I made this decision. Like, how could I have ever done that? And then punishment, which is trying to like punish yourself for the action that you did.
Oh, wow.
And then you have perversion, which is that like those feelings going in a loop of like you're going through this cycle on what you did. I wish I just didn't do it. Why
yeah.
is this thing not going away?
Yeah.
I'm going to punish myself for doing this
just
thing.
Just that hopelessness feeling.
Yeah, which I really, really
yeah.
can agree on. Like that feels yeah. so correct.
That resonates.
That resonates.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I also found this other article about the types of things we do regret. We were kind of talking about that earlier for us. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the stuff we were saying...
Was permanent retainer on there?
tooth surgery was...
Teeth related issues.
Yeah, no, that was number 7. So it didn't actually make the top 6.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, the article said that the top 6 regrets in the U.S. is education, career, romance, parenting, the self, and how we spend our leisure time, which I thought was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense. Like, education, career, and self means a lot of sense. But I do, you know, we were talking earlier how both of us find it very interesting that romance is something people think about as a regret in their life. Mm-hmm. And that obviously resonates for the rest of the world as well. But right. I was just surprised to see that so many people resonated with it.
Mm. I think it does make sense. Yeah.
But as we know, and this is what we love to talk about in Therapy Hour, which is most psych research is incredibly focused, not only in the West, but mostly in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and on white people and middle class to upper class folks.
Super narrow scope.
Yeah. And when I watched this TED Talk with this woman called Catherine Schultz, and she was kind of the reason why I ended up looking more into this, because she said that we live in a control Z culture in the West.
Mm.
And she described that as that we don't usually face our hardships. We tend to throw money at it and create technology to avoid it, which I thought was...
Oh, no, that's so real.
Yeah. And then saying how like that ideology can be really hurtful towards us because we don't feel those feelings of regrets and we're not able to deal with them. And that kind of made me start to think about what, like, is the way that I regret as a person in the West in an educational institution going to be different for somebody that is not in my position?
Right.
Or is there even, like, more or less regret depending on, like, the type of culture that you live in?
Yeah, it's some really interesting questions.
But to be fair... You know, not many people have the answers.
Like, looked into it.
A lot of
studies.
People have. Okay. I think that we there was some interesting studies that I found that I do want to talk about, because I thought that the way that this type of research was conducted, I think, shined a lot of light on the concept of regret. So there was one study done by this group, Gilovich, Quang, Reagan, and Nishina. I'm hoping I'm saying everyone right.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that in the U.S., there was long-term regret over inaction is more prevalent to them.
I get that.
And so their idea was that because the U.S. is a quote-unquote individualist country, we tend to regret our own inactions and see it as our own issues.
Mm.
And in the long term, we review those issues as being our own problem.
Right.
And then they studied Russia, China, and Japan, which had been seen as more collectivist countries. I will say that the term collectivist is somewhat problematic because it does group countries as being like monolithically different in like this one way.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, I'm sure there's so many other factors.
Yeah, and also the reason, I don't know why they put Japan in the study, because Japan is not technically a collectivist country.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they did this, but they... That was their rules. These are the countries that did. And what they did find was that in those other countries, Russia, China, and Japan, they also found that people tended to regret their independent inactions over a long period of time, which is very interesting.
So they had kind of hypothesized that because these countries were supposedly more collectivist,
yes,
they were going to regret, like, have action-based regrets more often.
They thought that they would have more regrets over things that affected their communities or societies rather than their independent inactions.
Okay, but that wasn't really the results at all.
That wasn't the results.
Interesting.
However,
okay,
another study,
uh-huh,
Kamiya, Miyamoto, Watabe, and Kusimi, Okay. Again, hope I'm pronouncing all those right, did a study on American and Japanese university students, and they found that both of them tended to have more personal regrets than interpersonal ones, which is, you know, sound with the prior research.
Yeah.
However, Japanese students tended to feel more intense regret over their interpersonal situations versus their personal situations, and Americans were the opposite. So both groups of people felt personal regret more often, but Japanese students had more like intense feelings of regret when it had to do with their interpersonal relationships versus their personal ones, and the American students were the exact opposite. Just kind of like showing where the values of each of these like participants kind of lied, whereas U.S. students tended to feel much more protected over themselves and felt more intense about their like reality of their decisions of themselves.
Yeah.
Japanese students tended to feel more regret over their decisions that affected their interpersonal relationships.
It's interesting to kind of like look at regret in that way of like almost quantity versus quality in a sense of like, I have more regrets where it comes to like personal regret, but the feeling I have about interpersonal regret is more intense. And I'm like so curious how that would even be measured.
Well, I think that like reading through a lot of the studies, and there's a lot more to be done, I just kind of like cherry picked a few that had some results in them. But I think that the way that they measure them is on scales. So they probably ask you a series of questions about what, actually I know how they did them because I read these studies. So what they tend to do is ask them a series of questions of like certain topics and what type of regrets they have on them. And then they usually give scenarios, or they do like think piece studies where they're like, tell us about a time where you did this and the type of regret you had, and then they'll ask you to scale your regret over that. And then that's probably shown them of like quantity has like pushed towards personal regrets. However, in terms of the intensity of the feeling over regret, it feels like in the, and then they have those things. So I thought that was really interesting. And it's just more to think about, and how, because I couldn't, I was thinking for myself whether I have regrets more for myself or my community. And I do think that I have more regrets that affect my individual self rather than like the people around me. But then I also thought more about, and obviously, you know, I'm not in a study and they can't isolate my feelings, but I did start to think about the regrets I've had in like my interpersonal relationships and how it's affected other people. And I was like, this also feels like it really affects me. And obviously I have no concept of the scales for myself, but I did think it was a really interesting like thought to like bring up, because I was like, I don't really think I think about that as often as the regrets that I have. Just like, I wish I would have done this for myself.
I definitely agree with that.
And the last thing I kind of wanted to bring up, just because it's very interesting, they've done a lot of like studies on like linguistic usages of auxiliary verbs, which is the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I'm not a linguistics major. I don't know much about this. So I'm kind of only talking a little bit out of my butt. But I do remember seeing this in a linguistics class, and I watched a TED Talk like God knows how long ago. And they were talking about how when certain countries or certain languages don't have words for would have, could have, and should have, their like interpretation of regret can be different. And I called my mom yesterday and I asked her, like, do you have, is there words in Farsi that like pertain to this? And she was like, there's no like direct translation. And she said that they have a word. Well, I knew that they had a word for if, but she was like, we don't have those like exact words of like would have, could have, should have. And the TED Talk really just talks about how that can like really change the way that people like live their lives, and whether they would have like regret or just don't even have like the simplistic like words to like show that they would have had regret.
It is so interesting to see the way that language does shape the way that we think and the way we conceptualize abstract ideas like regret.
And
my foster brother is like an English second language learner, and I was one time like helping him send a text, and I was suggesting that he use the word should in the text. And he was like, what does that mean? And I was like, how do you even explain what should is?
Yeah.
You know?
The, like, concept that there is a... there is a future, like, mm-hmm. that I remember this was how it was explained to me. It was like, it's a concept that a future is dependent on, like, this decision that you're making, which is, like, really, like, gets into a word that, like, I wouldn't have thought twice about.
Right.
But, like, that is what we're doing when we're conceptualizing of, like, you should do this, or I should have done this.
Right.
I could have done this. Yeah. And I think that when we break those down and think about what those words really mean, it just means, like, there's an alternate reality where we would have made this decision and we would have gotten...
And it would have been better.
And it would have been better. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that was a really actually great explanation of a word that is really hard to explain.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Yeah. It feels like there is this just, like, other world where these decisions were made. And, like, obviously there's plenty of media out there that, like, talks about, like, you go back in time and you change one thing and then everything blows up. And, like, I do think kind of what you were speaking to, what you were saying earlier on in this episode, is that everything does happen for a reason in lots of ways. And I think that sometimes we hold on to those regrets, and we see that in the research, like, it kind of, like, gets brought into this loop. But it is kind of interesting to think about a world where these words maybe don't exist, or they exist in a different way, and how that could possibly change how we conceive of, like, what reality or future or regret could look like. And side note, if anyone listening speaks a language where you don't have these words, and you're also an English speaker, and maybe you have some comparisons, or just like family, friends, we would love to hear it, because this stuff really interests me to see how, like, language can perceive of, like, your experience in the world. Yeah. So apparently there's a lot of back and forth in the linguistics community if this, like, is real or not. But I thought it was really cool. And I thought it was an interesting anecdote to make people think a little harder on their Monday evening.
Wow. I wish I would have known this sooner.
What?
Oh, you know, the fact that these words don't exist in every language.
Oh, yes.
I should have done more research.
And I could
if
have.
If only I could go back in time. Anyways.
We're feeling a little regretful on Therapy Hour right now.
We're having a lot of regrets. But if you don't keep listening while we go on this ad break, you're going to regret it!
Are you an artist, or do you work within the music community in BC? New grants could be available for you. Creative BC has launched 3 programs funding Indigenous and underrepresented artists and organizations: the Demo Recording, Music Video, and Industry Catalyst programs. Previously, for artists and industry living and working in Vancouver, these programs have been extended across the entire province of BC. Past recipients include KPOC, Prado, AfroVan Connect, Capsule Studios, and 120 other projects that have been funded. Apply by June 23rd, 2022. For more information, be sure to check out creativebc.com. You get me talking
when I'm drinking. At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And we're back. Did you like that fun little outro to our ad break? I thought that was fun.
That's kind of our singing debut on...
Wow, that was kind of beautiful.
That was really gorgeous.
Who wants to sign me on a record deal? Anyways.
Anyways.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. And we are talking about regret. I think it's important to remember that, as the research shows, everyone feels regret. It is a very universal feeling. You're not special.
No, not in the slightest.
Nothing you've ever thought is an original thought. No. So you can sit with that.
You can sit with that.
And I think especially, I know we have kind of a younger, like a lot of our listeners are younger, like young adult age. And this is kind of a time in our life when it feels as though we're making some really important decisions, whether that's, you know, who to be friends with, what to study, where to live, where to go to university, what school to pick. And like all these decisions are really intimidating because you really want to make the right decision and you don't want to look back and you don't want to regret it. And I feel like we have a unique opportunity as young people as well to have a lot of those decisions coming up in our life as well. And to kind of learn from the people around us. I feel like it's such a classic thing for parents to be like, you know, I didn't do this when I was your age and I really regret it. So I really encourage you to do it.
Absolutely.
And you can choose to listen to that or you can choose not to. Yeah. Ultimately, it's kind of your path and journey. But I think, again, it's kind of a privilege in a way to be a young person and have like, you know, this idea of anticipatory regret. So like thinking like a small example of that would be like, oh, I better not drink too much because I may regret it tomorrow if I feel bad. Like I better stop drinking now. But this also applies to bigger decisions and bigger opportunities. And it's not to say that you age out of anticipatory regret.
No.
But I do think as you get older and some of those bigger kind of life-changing decisions start to be more and more behind you, I can only imagine, not that I've experienced like being middle-aged or older, but I can only imagine that those feelings of regret may really feel bigger for you.
Yeah, of course.
And feel like you've lived a good amount of your life and a lot of that decision-making that's gotten you to the place that you are is already done.
Right.
And you don't have that like potential and like future of like where to go to school, like big first job, like career opportunities, things like that.
Absolutely.
And to go and change that is a lot more difficult as you're getting older.
Absolutely. And also like we shouldn't forget too that I think that having regret and like having the opportunity to like work on that regret is also a huge privilege, like outside of being young, but also in terms of like financial stability. Like a lot of people take opportunities or do certain things because they have to. Yeah. And I think that that's something that like I've also been thinking a lot about, that I feel very privileged with the fact that I've like come to this educational institution and I've had like this time to figure out like what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And then like also moving forward in my life, I do conceive of the next few years of my life like being able to go and, you know, repair past regrets and like the thought of like going to school again or going to do these things that I could build off of. Whereas like not everyone gets that option. And I want to make it very well known that we're both very aware of this. Like I think that regret is one thing, and then being able to fix that regret or work on it also comes with a lot of privilege. Like you think about taking more time in school, going back to school, like all, or you know, changing your career. Like these things take money and they take time. And when you're not attached to people, when you don't have a family to provide to, when you have money for yourself, when you're able to feed yourself and live in a city, like those things can come easily, but then add on anything plus a million more, that's not always a reality for people. And I think that I think about that a lot, like especially both my parents like were immigrants in the States and in Canada, and like a lot of what both of them have talked about is the fact that, you know, I took the first opportunity that came. I didn't think about it because I literally couldn't.
I wasn't being picky because I couldn't afford to be.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we when we think about older generations and especially immigrants or even first gens or anyone from like a lower economic status, the option for choice becomes very, very narrow, and you're gonna take something that very well may not make you happy and not fulfill you in life, but at the time it like makes a lot of sense to do it. And I've talked a lot with my mom about just like the concept of regret, because I really don't think I felt much regret in lots of ways, like in the classical sense, until mm-hmm. like a few years ago, where I started just like reviewing my own choices, just mm-hmm. either academically or in my friendships or just mm-hmm. like in my life decisions. And I remember just like kind of in this state with her one time where I was just sobbing and I was like, I wish I would have done this, this, mm-hmm. and this. And then I was like, do you, and I kind of like turned to her, I was like, do you ever feel this way? Like, does this feeling ever go away? Or like, what, like, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like I have no control over something? And why do I regret like every decision I made? And she kind of just said, and she was like, I still feel this way. Mm. And like, my mom has like a very established life mm-hmm. and like, I would say moderately happy at the very mm-hmm. least. But even with her, like, she talks yeah. a lot about the regrets she's had, and it feels somewhat terrible to think that like this feeling never goes away, and it mm-hmm. obviously doesn't.
Yeah.
But in another way, I think that it kind of brought me a little bit of peace in that moment to being like, okay, well, this is always going to happen
yeah.
because there's always going to be an opportunity you miss. There's always going to be like a step you didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be something you're going to look back on and be like, well, why didn't I do this?
Right.
But I think also kind of in line with what we were talking about of everything happens for a reason, I think you also make some decisions sometimes because of where you are at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes people will look back on their university life and be like, well, I really didn't take advantage of everything socially.
Right.
But then you realize like, oh, I was focusing on this, mm-hmm. on like the work I was doing or the, my schoolwork that I was doing.
Yeah.
And that brought something in the same way that someone who might regret looking at their university life where they're like, oh, I wish I like didn't go out as much.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, well, I got to have all these experiences and meet all these people. Like both, the grass is just always, it's always freaking greener.
Yeah. And I think it's important to have that compassion for yourself of like, oh, I hate that I made this choice, but then being like, okay, but why did I make that choice? Like there was a reason, there was a motivation. And yeah, maybe you know more now. Like you know the result of what that choice was. You
Absolutely.
Don't know what the result of the other choice was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to kind of romanticize the outcome of this other future possibility that never came to. But in your head, you're going to kind of like conceptualize this. Oh, it would have been so much better when you don't necessarily know that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how can we like cope with these feelings of regret? Like what can we do if this is something what we're feeling now? We're gonna keep feeling, according to your mom. That's our source.
The source is my mother, and she knows a lot.
Yeah, she's a smart lady. So what can we do?
Well, I think that the first thing that you said is like such good advice is like, we actually have no idea what that other decision would have brought you. You can sit here and think like, I could have done this, this, and this. And if I did this opportunity, then I would have gone to this opportunity. And on top of that, I would have been happy throughout the entire thing.
Nothing would have gone wrong.
Right. And I feel like that's just not the likelihood.
Yeah.
And so like the first thing that I always say about everything is like, first talk to people about regret. I feel like for me, I regretted in silence for a really long time because I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that I had like made mistakes and that I had was regretting it. But even recently, I've been talking a lot to people about some like decisions I made in like the first few years of university and some like career choices that I made and how I regret some of them. And it's been lovely because people will respond being like, oh, I did too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, I remember when I did that.
Yeah.
And like, it's also with people that I look at and I feel like at some certain points I've looked at those people being like, you have everything.
But you've done it all right.
You've done it.
Yeah, look at you now.
Exactly. Or like, you have everything that I want to do, or like, I want to do this and you're doing this. But then you talk to them and realize like, well, they also have regrets and they also may not be happy where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like contextualizing that. And then also like, when we think about regret in the very like evolutionary sense, we have that mechanism so we can learn from it. So yes, obviously you should feel regret. You shouldn't fight that feeling. But then let that regret guide you in like what type of decisions you want to make.
Right.
So you're upset that you did something, like you said something to your friend that was like out of line and now you guys are no longer friends. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now the next time that you're in a situation like this with someone else, you're not going to do that again.
Learn from it.
And you're going to like talk to someone or you're going to like sit this person down instead of blowing up at them. Like,
yeah,
you can learn from those experiences. It does, just because maybe that situation didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And this is very, like, I think everyone knows this deep down, but I think that it's good to hear it, that even if, like, this person or, like, this situation just, like, really didn't work out in your favor, and now, like, maybe that whole thing is just shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we're not going to do that again.
Yeah. And I think that helps with, I think what comes along with these feelings of regret is just this really deep feeling of helplessness. And I think when you frame it in that way of, like, I can't change this, but I can change what I do moving forward, it helps with those feelings of helplessness.
Yeah.
Because chances are, whatever situation you are in that you regret, unless it's a permanent retainer,
let it go!
Like, you will be in situations kind of like that probably in the future.
Absolutely.
And now you may not know what to do, but you definitely know what you don't want to do again. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that for me, the way that my regret has manifested in the last few years of my, like, early adulthood has been, it kind of has, like, stunted me, where I feel like, oh, I made this really big regret and now I don't want to, like, do that again. But now I'm just, like, thinking about this thing that I've done over and over and over again. And a lot of something that I had, a lot of what I worked on in the past year for myself was, like, I just had to force myself to be like, okay, well, then try again. Mm-hmm. Like, go and do something again, because it's not going to help you to sit and, like, not, like, not to say that you shouldn't sit and think about it, but I think letting it affect you to the point of just, like, not wanting to try anything similar again can really, like, it can affect you a lot more negatively.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think a lot of people get stuck torturing themselves about these very specific what if scenarios where they imagine this other outcome, like we were saying, that they believe would be better if that had happened.
Yeah.
But I think it's, like, really important to keep into perspective that, yes, that could potentially have happened, but it also could have happened a million other ways that you don't know. And surely some of those outcomes actually would have been worse than the outcome you're currently in.
Absolutely.
And, like, I was doing a little bit of research into, like, how to cope with those feelings of regret. And I stumbled upon something that was saying that people, because there are the two types of, like, what if scenarios of, like, oh, what if this had happened? It would have been so much better. And then what if this had happened? It could have been so much worse. Well, like, or, like, in other words, at least this didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they found that people who are able to get to that place of at least this didn't happen, they were able to, like, be happier overall.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. Well, I think, like, that's the main thing, right? And I think that we've kind of gone over this a million times, but I do think that with regret comes this, like, idea of what this alternate future would have been like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of the day, we don't know what it would have been in. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, what we were talking about in the research portion of, like, living specifically in a place like Canada or the US or some Western, more developed, whatever terrible problematic wording you want to use for these countries, is that I think that we are semi-trained that we can't really make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we make a mistake, sometimes it feels like it's gonna, like, blow up your entire world. And it very may well for a little bit, or it might feel like your entire world is just, like, exploding right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely, if you haven't done something, like, extremely terrible to the people around you, like, if it is even, like, let's say, like, a really terrible career choice, and, like, you feel like, you know, now this company has gone under and now you're left without this, like, thing that you loved all this time, I genuinely believe that there is a way to, like, crawl out of that, and in maybe 5 to 10 years, even, like, with something so catastrophic like that, things could possibly change. And it's also, like, not, again, like, I think that we're talking in very broad strokes, and I'm not saying that I can speak for, like, every experience that can happen. But I think when we conceptualize of regret and, like, the best solutions for it, it's just thinking about, like, well, at least it wasn't this.
Yeah.
And this is how I can make this better, and this is hopefully what I can do next time.
Yeah, just finding that light at the end of the tunnel, wherever that comes from.
Right. Anyways, we've reached the end, and we regret to inform you.
Oh, that wasn't even planned.
But yeah, so we're gonna do our little homework, and I guess we've been giving you all kind of a lot of homework in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But we're gonna give you some more. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. This week we want you to consider taking a risk and something that you could possibly regret, whether it's getting the tattoo you've saved for the last few months or calling someone you haven't spoken to in a while. Mm. Even if it's just thinking about the things that you could inevitably regret in the future, it could be the start of shaping newfound confidence in your desired decision making.
Love that.
Pretty preachy on therapy hour. But
you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
No, absolutely not. Please don't take our advice. Don't take a risk, regret it, and then DM us telling us that you immediately regretted something that you did.
Yeah.
Well, this has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
And I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Next week is going to be a special episode of Therapy Hour, because Violet is going away for a tramp. Cue everybody sobbing and crying and literally boycotting Therapy Hour. We're going to have a special guest. Ryan Bashir, a psych student at UBC, will be my temporary co-host. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about the psychology of love.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I will see you next week.
I won't.
But we both love you.